You're listening to Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein. There are a lot of Thanksgiving traditions, most of them associated with food. But while some members of the family are preparing that food and others are telling childhood stories, there are usually a few sitting in front of the TV watching an NFL football game. So since tomorrow will feature back-to-back-to-back gridiron contests, I thought it would be a good time to talk with Rich Cohen about his new book, Monsters, the 1985 Chicago Bears and the Wild Heart of Football. Many modern-day fans consider that Bears team to be the greatest in NFL history. It was full of dominant talents like running back Walter Payton and defensive linemen Richard Dent and Dan Hampton, plus wild personalities like quarterback Jim McMahon and head coach Mike Ditka. Cohen says he had a personal reason for writing about the team.
I was sort of a fanatic. I was a senior in high school in 85, but that team really started to come together. I mean, I've been a big fan since the mid-70s, and then they started to get really good. They had a great, great player who I loved who actually lives in Scottsdale named Doug Plank, who was the Bears' safety, free safety, number 46. He was called the human missile. He used to carry smelling salts in his own waistband to revive himself after big hits. And, I mean, he was just the kind of guy you love to watch. He'd play as hard as he can every single play. And he gave that defense the 46 defense, his name for Doug Plank's number.
This team was different, though, Rich, wasn't it? It was known off the field for its quirkiness, not just on the field for its success.
They were incredibly colorful characters. They had the Super Bowl shuffle, which then sort of gave them each their own tagline that sort of froze in your mind. They had four future Hall of Famers, five including Ditka, and it was sort of functional dysfunction. And the fact is that it wasn't just that they had all this stuff going on the sidelines, it was completely connected to the game. So their personalities played a huge part in how they played. You know, there was a great game, the third or fourth game that year against Minnesota, where Jim McMahon wasn't supposed to play and he thought he should play, and him and Ditka were screaming at each other on the sidelines on national TV. You know, just shouting at each other. And finally, Ditka just sends him in, almost just to shut him up, and sends him in with a screen pass to Walter Payton. And you can see on TV McMahon changing it. You can see it at the line of scrimmage. And Ditka going crazy on the sidelines and McMahon throwing a 50-yard touchdown pass. And it was all that stuff. It was like, and you'd go to the games, and you actually got lucky enough to have a ticket. You could sit there on the sidelines and watch, you know, all the interactions and the way they dealt with each other. And it became almost like if you were watching The Godfather, but the guys in that movie were suiting up in pads and hitting each other. I mean, it was an incredible story. And think about football. The guys are armored. You can't see them. Most teams, you know, a few players. This was a team where every single player kind of became a breakout star. And I always said it was like the Beatles. You had a different kind of bear. Was like to be a different kind of bear for every kind of fan.
One issue finally getting more attention from the NFL is brain injuries, let alone the physical injuries that players have suffered. Did the reality of the players' current conditions make it more challenging to put this book together?
You know, almost 30 years have gone by, and I had this idea that it would be like my father's favorite book, which was Boys of Summer, about the 55 Dodgers.
Yeah.
And Roger Kahn went around in the mid-70s to members of that team, and he interviewed them, and then at the end of the interview, he'd asked them to play catch. And at the end of my interview with McMahon, I asked him to play catch. And he's like, and I brought a football along. And he's like, man, play catch, I can't even throw my keys.
Okay.
You know, and you realize this isn't baseball. This is an incredibly brutal, violent game. It's so interesting because it's the brainiest and the most brutal at the same time. It's tackle chess, as Doug Plank described it. And, you know, Doug Plank had a line. I don't think he was talking about physically, but it fits. He said, if you're lucky enough to be involved in something so intense when you're young, you pay for it with the rest of your life. And that's basically, you know, what's happened to these guys. And now it's really sort of critical for us as people that love the game to try to save the game from itself, I think. It happened before. You know, in the early 1900s, football was almost outlawed because I think 17 college players died on the field one year. And they changed the game, and now they're going to be changing the game again, and it's a good thing, because the very thing that makes these guys great football players puts them in danger. which is when you're 20 years old, 40 years old doesn't seem real. You just don't believe you're ever, you're not thinking about it. You don't believe you're going to get there. And it's sort of the 40-year-olds, I'm 45, who have to sort of protect the 20-year-olds from themselves, you know. And that's like a serious responsibility, and it's a real change going on in the league right now.
Rich, finally, sports can bring families together as people root for the same team. Was it that way for you and the Bears and your family?
Unlike most people, I had to kind of root for the Chicago teams behind my father's back because he was of the belief that a Cubs fan and a Bears fan will have a bad life because they will accept losing as a natural condition of the world. So he tried to discourage me. So I had to sort of, it was like a secret vice of mine. And I do think that sports teams, I guess if I were to think about it, it's kind of like learning to be a citizen. It's kind of like nationalism on a scale that you can manage as a kid with the uniforms and the players and the team history. It all kind of evokes a national history and a world history. So I think it's kind of good training for living in the world and for also really loving something and really wanting something to happen and watching it not happen again and again and again and yet continuing to sort of pick up and go on. It's true for players and it's true for fans. And then for the really the starkest lesson of all, which is when you want, when what you've wanted to happen finally happens and it doesn't quite do it for you. You know, it does it for you for the moment, but there's sort of this letdown. I mean, Mike Ditka said after they won the Super Bowl, he said it was a letdown. It was like the Peggy Lee song, Is That All There Is? You know, so all of that is sort of training for life.
Rich Cohen, his new book is called Monsters, the 1985 Chicago Bears, and the Wild Heart of Football.